The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Notice how clever that intro is. Hey. And Matt Slick is my real name for those who are newbies. If you're wondering, oh, is that a radio name? Nope. I learned to run as a kid because of that name. All right, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And just let you know, in about 3 hours, not a big deal, I'm going to be on Clubhouse. We're going to try a Wednesday night thing, a regular kind of a Wednesday night thing, where I'll be answering questions. And I do the same thing here on radio, but in that kind of environment is more long discussions that we can that can occur. Maybe someone might call up and ask, is baptism necessary for salvation? And I'll show them verses, and I'll say, I'll ask this, you know, and go through. It's not like it'd be a radio show where things have to be kind of moving a lot and constantly. So that's not a big deal, but that's what we're going to be doing tonight, and all kinds of topics. We're going to be getting into stuff, because a lot of people there hate the Trinity, the deity of Christ. They hate Christianity. There are those who say that God is not a Trinity, but is one. They say baptism is necessary for salvation. Roman Catholics get in and start saying that the Roman Catholic Church is the way, the truth, and the life. The Eastern Orthodox do the same thing. You've got to believe in Eastern Orthodoxy to be saved, because it's the true church. And a whole bunch of stuff. And we get in these discussions. We talk with atheists, and that reminds me. So I have been working on an outline, and I'm going to release it, you know, in a while, on, well, this is going to sound complicated, but on, how do I put this, on the foundational aspect of the ultimate, from which all facts must ultimately derive, and how the non-personal, non-Trinitarian worldview cannot account for them. It's sophisticated. But I'm going to be working up an article on that, an outline that goes step by step, trying to explain things. It's going to take me a while to do it. And just to say this, as I'm talking about this kind of stuff, I'm also working on an outline on baptism. Now, what I mean by that is, I actually, what I do is I collect a lot of information in outlines in Microsoft Word. And I mean a lot. And so I've been doing this for years and years and years. And my outline on baptism is 36 pages long. That's actually kind of short for a lot of the outlines I do. But what I'm doing is converting most of it, not all of it, but most of it to a single web page. I'm going to create a section on CARM called Outlines. And then outlines on atheism, outlines on Catholicism, outlines on varying things, so that they can be used by people who want to go in and have lots of references and information. Now, it's similar to the cut and paste information. I might, you know, I'm thinking about it. I might even just add it to that, just make it into the cut and paste section, and just have an outlines, a subsection in there. That'd probably be the best place and keep it simple. As I think out loud about this whole thing. So what I try and do is give a lot of information for people so that they can have quick information, quick understanding of things, references and verses. Over the years, I've given my outlines of a couple of topics to some people, and I said, here, take a look at this and see what you think, you know. And I've had people just tell me they're great. They're very helpful. And so I'll be working on that, and I spent about an hour today working on the outline of baptism, and I'm only, I would say, a fifth of the way through formatting, getting all the formatting right, making it look good, and links, and the words of Jesus in red, and trying to make it logically organized so that people can see things, and I get to do short links, and it's a lot of stuff. But hey, there you go. All right, now we've got four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you go to carm.org/calendar, that's /calendar, carm.org, you'll see that today at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, you'll see I'll be on Clubhouse and answering questions. And there's a link there. If you click on it, it's going to open up. It's going to have a picture of two guys. Myself is one, and the other guy, he's just the moderator. And so I need to just get my picture up there because it's a little confusing. People go, why is there two big, you know? So anyway, we'll do work on that. This is the first time we're doing it tonight, and I hope you want to join us because I did something a week ago on Roman Catholicism on Clubhouse. We had over, I think, around 700 people came through. And it was really popular, so people are saying, hey, let's do this some more. Wow. How about that? A lot going on. And we'll get to the calls here because we need to do that. I got some more stuff I can talk about in the intro. But we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Buskman from Ohio. Buskman, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey. Nice to talk to you again, Matt. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Oh, okay. Glad someone thinks that. That's good.
Hey, I've got two questions for you, my friend. Uh-huh. Number one, John chapter 10.
Okay.
Jesus is the shepherd.
Uh-huh.
We are the sheep.
Yeah.
Who does the hired hand represent, Matt? What
sure.
kind of figure does the hired hand
well,
represent?
So let's get a little context. The shepherd was someone who had a flock of sheep, or herd of sheep, I guess is a better word, and they were trained to recognize his voice. This is really important. A lot of people don't know this, but you could have several shepherds, and they would meet, and their sheep would all intermix. Well, how would you tell them apart? The different shepherds would just move over to a certain area, you know, 100 feet away from the group, and just call. And then his sheep would filter themselves out of that broad group and then come to him. And that's what Jesus is referencing. Yeah. And so, my sheep hear my voice. And this is what he says in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the cultural, historical context of what Jesus is talking about. When he talks about a hireling, what he's talking about is someone who doesn't care for the sheep, because the shepherd also would have, they had pens out in the middle of wherever they were. They wouldn't have roofs, necessarily. But the pens were, I got to yawn. Okay. The pens were often stones, you know, very high, so that the sheep would go in through a single door, and they would be inside there, and the shepherd would lay down in the door, so that if a wolf or whatever predator would come, he had to go through him to get to the sheep.
Sure.
So Jesus says he's the sheep, he's the door, and the shepherd, the sheep enter through him. And so one of the duties of the shepherd was to guard the sheep from wolves and from predators. So now we get a little more context. Okay, so now when we're talking about this, what's a hireling? Is a hireling going to risk his life for those sheep? No. Does the hireling's voice call the sheep? No. So when he says, the hireling, they come in, where is that? I'm going to try and find that so I can show you a little bit more about it. Truly I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. That's John 10:7. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved and he'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. All right, so I'm the good shepherd. He lays his life down for the sheep. So now you can see, I see what's going on. Verse 12, but he was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. So he flees because he's hired hand, is not concerned about the sheep. This is what Jesus talked about. So who are the hired hands? Okay, now, the hired hands ultimately would be false teachers who will lead Christians astray. So it'd be people like Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, all right, Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, Mary Baker Eddy. And they would be false shepherds because they teach damnable heresies. Heresies that, I don't know about, you know, technically, I don't know if Joel Osteen's ever taught a damnable heresy, but he's just not very good. Copeland has taught about we're being gods and Jesus dying yeah. for our sins and paying in hell, as did Joyce Meyer. She says if you don't believe that, you can't be saved. That's a false gospel. And so you know, there are false teachers out there. And that's what he's talking about. So there's a lot of false teachers.
Okay, so it's teachers. It wouldn't be anybody that would be in authority over sure. a group of people.
Yeah, a pope would be a false shepherd.
Okay.
Okay. A Catholic okay. priests would be false shepherds, generically speaking. So would the Eastern Orthodox priests be false shepherds. And the reason is because they don't preach the true gospel. They preach a false okay. gospel. And so therefore they're not true shepherds because they're leading their so-called sheep to eternal damnation, to destruction. And that's not what a okay. true shepherd does. That makes sense?
That makes great sense, which moves me to my second question, but I think sure. your explanation actually solves my problem. When then does the sheep not obey the hireling, the teaching, but you well, pretty much cleared
that
can
up. Vary.
When do they do not follow the authority?
That can vary. For example, you could have a okay. person who's a Roman Catholic and is following all the Roman Catholic sacerdotal requirements for salvation, resting in the hands of the priest and all the idiocy that goes along with it. And you could maybe that person gets born again, trusts in the true Jesus and doesn't trust in all that stuff, and then might you know, still go there because doesn't know any better and say, you know, something's just not right, and gradually leaves because they don't hear the voice of the true shepherd.
Mm.
So that it can happen, you know. People can be in a place, and it just takes a while. And they say, you know, I don't recognize that. Something's not right. And they go, I'm looking for the true voice. And this wow. also is interesting because the Catholics and Eastern Orthodox want to claim that their churches are the ones who gave us the Bible. How do you know what the authenticity of the Bible is unless it wasn't for our church telling you? And I always go to this.
Yeah.
I say that we recognize Scripture. My sheep hear my voice. That's what it says. And I know them and they follow me because eternal life to them. We recognize the voice of God. We recognize what's inspired. We don't declare it to be inspired. We don't declare that Jesus is the shepherd. We recognize that he's the shepherd. We recognize the inspiration of Scripture. Absolutely. What they want to do is say that the church gives the authority of the shepherd to be the shepherd. That's essentially what they're doing.
First, not Scripture. Is basically what that's right. kind of insinuating.
Right. And so they'll say, yeah. we gave you the Bible, but then how do you account for the Old Testament? Because the Old Testament wasn't given by right. their church, their true church. Another, it's always the same. It's always another only true church. It's how false religions work. We're the only true Amazing. Church. Whether restored this or that, it's just the same old thing. It's all over the place. Okay, buddy? Got it?
Always great talking to you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless. That was Buskman from Ohio. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy, you may have noticed a little bit of dead air. That's because there was a little glitch in the matrix, and it was repaired. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Leon from Utah. Leon, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, I just was wondering if a guy named Stephen Berterick was a false prophet.
I wouldn't trust him.
Driven.
Oh, yeah. I've written on him, and I wouldn't trust him. All right, and there's
okay,
reasons.
What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. So, for example, in regards to the doctrines of grace in Reformed theology, which is the sovereignty of God, God's right of moving graciously upon his people, and he opens their hearts and their minds, etc. It's also, well, he says this, if that doesn't get you excited, this is what he says in a quote. His church is a church for the overlooked, for the unloved. We preach Jesus so people far from God can know Jesus. And then we train them up so that others can know Jesus. It's called kingdom multiplication. It is what Elevation Church is all about. Now that sounds pretty good. Then a little bit later in that video, he says, if that doesn't get you excited and you need the doctrines of grace as defined by John Calvin to excite you, you win the wrong church. Let me get a phone book. There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one that you can stuff your face until you're so obese spiritually that you can't even move. Now, what he did was disparage the doctrines of grace, and that's a very serious error. Not that Calvinism is always right, but he brought it up, and it's a huge error on his point. It's a big mistake. He doesn't understand what
was the word you said?
Doctrines of grace?
Doctrines of grace?
Yes, look up the doctrines of grace online and see what you find, okay? And what it is, is that God is the one who alone is gracious, and he has the sovereignty to be gracious to whom he desires. So he elects, he predestines, he calls, he works. This is called the doctrines of grace. And it's very biblical, all right? Now, he also, unfortunately, supports women pastors and elders. And that's very unbiblical. So I can't trust anyone who's going to affirm that. And T.D. Jakes is a man who denies the Trinity. And at T.D. Jakes' website, it says there is one God, creator of all things, infinitely perfect, eternally existing in three manifestations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's wrong. It's not three manifestations. It's three distinct persons. This is typical oneness teaching. So therefore, T.D. Jakes is not qualified to be a preacher in any church. And then, so this is what Furtick says about T.D. Jakes. Quote, I want you to stand up on your feet right now and let's welcome to the stage the greatest preacher of our time, Bishop T.D. Jakes. Come on and show him some embarrassing love. So this tells me Furtick couldn't argue his way out of a wet paper bag theologically. He doesn't know what he's doing. So he insults the sovereign grace of God. He promotes women pastors and elders, and there's other stuff. I've got the documentation. I haven't checked everything out and expand this article, but I will. And he approves of a heretic who denies the doctrine of the Trinity and has him come into his preach in his church. So,
wow. Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, people sometimes think that people like myself are too uppity about this kind of stuff. That we divide over things that don't need to be divided on. And my admonition to them is really simple. That these things are critically important. And that
that's
they need
to... That's why I called you.
That's right.
Yeah,
they're very important.
They are.
That's right. And, you know, I teach on this a lot, and it's important. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, God, yeah, the Lord had me call you and say, look, man, all this sounds good, great, uplifting, but like Matt's, I'd like to get, you know, Matt's opinion on this because I know, like, even so, he helped me get away from Joel and Joy, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, it sounds great, but no, that's false doctrine, it's heresy, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know any better. Like, you're going to know the truth. You know the truth about it, you know? you know, I don't want to ear tickler. I want the straight truth. So.
There you go.
You know?
That's right. Compromise in a little thing leads to compromise in a lot. It's just how
Absolutely.
It works. And so people, they don't think that these particulars in Scripture are that necessary. Well, if they're not, then why did God teach them? So,
That's good.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, hey, praise God. I just, you know, all glory to God for your ministry and love what you do. You know, you hold no punches. They'll say, look, this is heresy. I don't care what anybody says. This is heresy.
Yep.
You know, and I love it. So,
that's right.
Well,
and
you,
I would.
I mean, praise God to you.
And, you know, we've tried contacting different people that we write about, and generally, well, they never return emails. You know, hey, you know, I don't remember if we've tried to contact Stephen Furtick or not. We've tried different people over the years, you know, and they just never go. So what we do is we analyze them based on what's going on. But if by any chance this gets back to him, I'd be glad to have a sit-down with him and go over biblical theology and do this. Now, that sounds arrogant. But some of us are very trained and studied in these areas that are important. And I'm not as good as him at other things, and he's not as good as me at some other things. So let the people who are strong in particular areas do their job. And I'm not the only one who exposes Stephen Furtick and others for teaching things they should not be teaching according to Scripture. But what happens is people don't want to listen to the perspicuity, that's the clarity, and the authority of Scripture. And they say things they should not be saying. And they go with testimonies. They go with, and there's another thing that's coming up more and more, is God told me. And so when God tells them. What's that?
I was warned, I don't know who it was, but you better watch out when somebody says, God told me.
Yeah, be warned.
I was thinking, yeah, okay.
It doesn't mean it can't happen, because I believe it certainly can. I've had an instance in my life where God, I have to say, communicated to me that he was going to deal with me harshly if I didn't repent. And it was communicated to me, let's just say, in a faithful way. I wasn't hearing voices from God or got some subjective feeling in my heart, you know. And you don't hear me saying things like, well, you know, last night I was just praying and I had this vision of God. I went to the throne, you know, and I was talking to God, you know. And this is how a lot of this gets delivered. It's just, it's insane.
Right.
Yeah. All right, buddy. There we go.
Oh, wow. Okay, thank you. God bless you, man.
All right, man. Okay. God bless. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have four open lines. I want to give you some time on the radio and on the air if you want to give me a call, all right? Let's get to Alex from, let's see, Florida. Alex, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Good. I texted you about that opportunity to do some apologetics with those Buddhist monks.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to, I have an opportunity out in Myanmar to do a Zoom call with them, and I was going to do one first and see if you were interested or not, but, well, I got you on the air. I thought, on the line, I thought that you could maybe go over some things, like what's the best approach to deal with them, with the existence of God, you know, the deity of Christ, like what would your be approach for me, because I'm gonna, you know,
for
do
Buddhists?
This pretty soon with my they're Buddhist monks in Myanmar.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one, because what I would do is I would ask them questions about the nature of truth. And one of the things, I don't know how sophisticated to get in the argumentation, but because they're Buddhists, basically they're atheists. And I'm thinking here. So
yeah, don't worry.
Okay, ask them what the ultimate truth is, because they're going to believe in truths and certain combinations of things in a philosophical manner that relates to actuality. This is what Buddhism does. And so it's basically okay. Atheistic, but it believes that there are concepts and ideas. They're almost Platonic in some areas. So one of the things I'll be doing is ask them, what is the ultimate truth? And then talk about what is ultimate. So if something is ultimate, that means there's nothing next to it. Now, I'm going to see if I can do this. When you have something that exists, and you have a fact, you have something, a chair you're in, sitting in, or a tree next to you, whatever it is, okay. We call it a fact. What gives that fact its existence? Is the tree there existing because it just grew? Well, what caused it to grow? With a seed. Where did that seed come from? Another tree. So what we're talking about is justifying a causal chain. Because okay. Nothing that exists independent of other things. So a tree exists in the context of the world, in the context of the planet and the solar system, etc. Well, where did everything come from? What's the ultimate basis that provides the source of all actuality and potentiality? That's what it's coming to. The ultimate source of where it all started from. Where did the tree come from? Let's see. Where did that seed come from? Another tree. Where did that tree come from? Another seed. And go back and back. Well, where did it come from? And so this issue works and relates to atheists, Mormons, Catholics, Calvinists, anybody and everybody. Because we exist in a world of facts. I'll just say facts for now. Of actualities, of things we can touch. But there are particular instances of trees all over the place. So what is the ultimate? What is the thing that is behind everything? If we say, there's only two possibilities. The ultimate is one thing or many things. But logically speaking, if many things are the ultimate, then there is no ultimate. So you're going to have one ultimate beyond which nothing exists, beyond which nothing is greater. Otherwise, it's not ultimate. You with me?
Yeah, I'm following you. Yeah, that's a good framework to start from. Yeah. I mean, I figured I'd have a call with them first. But would you be interested in something like that, getting on the Zoom call with these guys?
Yeah, I could do that and see where they're coming from. See, this is a basic principle, and it's tough to conceptualize. But in Buddhism, they should be able to get it. They're going to have principles and ideas. They're going to have to, what I would ask is for them to ground the truths that they stand on and base their Buddhism on. What grounds their truth? And ultimately, the ultimate grounding has to be personal or impersonal. And an impersonal grounding doesn't work. And so this is how we undermine basically all systems. And except for Christianity.
Yeah, no, I have another question. So,
go ahead.
I have another question. So with that being said, you know, I've done work out there, you know, I don't know where these guys are at, you know, for lack of a better term, Orthodox Buddhism, if you get what I'm saying. Like, where are they on the realm of Buddhism? Will that play into part talking with them, or should
Absolutely.
I
just... Yeah, you have to find out where they are in particular. And so you have to ask questions. And just ask them, you know, what are the basic beliefs that you hold to in your Buddhist philosophy? Now, they're going to say things like reincarnation and karma. They're going to talk about that because they believe that the soul exists and that it goes forth in different levels. Now, I'm going to ask them, well, where did this soul come from? And they're going to say it came out of the ultimate one that provides the existence of all the souls that have to go through karmic reincarnation in order to learn. Now I'm going to ask him about that ultimate. What is it? Is it conscious or not conscious? Is it personal or not personal? And I'm going to also ask, and this gets where it's, there's just so many different ways of doing things. I'm going to ask him, is it one thing or many things? Because if it's one thing, then the ultimate is one. That means the essence of ultimate truth is one. How then can you have particular manifestations of souls? Because if there's only one ultimate thing, then how does it have particular manifestations of something? Because then the particular manifestations become the ultimate standard for us. And it gets more complicated, but these are some of the issues. And what I'm actually trying to do in the past few, couple, 3 weeks, is learn how to articulate these in very simplistic terms so that they can be grasped and understood. And the reason is because if someone can learn these, they can apply it to any secular and theological system, any one of them, and ultimately undermine all of them, because the only one that can't be undermined is the Trinitarian presupposition. Okay?
Okay, and this is typically the argument we use against atheists, like Clubhouse on Discord, and you'll go from this line of reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah, I will typically, with atheists, I will ask them to justify the assumptions with which they argue. Or I will ask them to provide a rational framework to justify something. But they don't realize, as soon as they start that, they're presupposing the universality of the laws of logic. Because without them, we can't communicate. We can't be rational. I then pointed out that they're presupposing the laws of logic, which are abstract principles. Abstract principles occur in the mind. How is it then that different individuals can apprehend and utilize how can the different individuals apprehend these particular manifestations of these laws? What must be in place in order for them to be able to justify them? What's the ultimate behind their reasoning? What they'll often do is say the universe is the ultimate, but the universe is impersonal. And then there's a problem of materialism as it relates to the physical brain and garbage in, garbage out, and it's self-refuting. But I can get into the issue of, if the ultimate is impersonal, how does the impersonal ultimate produce personhood? How does it produce truth, since truth occurs in the mind? Truth is personal because it's known. Morals are personal because they're experienced. We don't find truth or morals under rocks. So I'll ask them, if you're ultimate, that means there's nothing greater or beyond, say, the physical universe. Well, I can ask them what brought that into existence, another issue. But they presuppose that. I'm going to ask them to verify the presupposition. They can't. And then, just for kicks and giggles, I'm going to say, can you demonstrate from your presupposition how the impersonal brings out the universal personal attributes of truth? They cannot deal with that. Okay.
Yeah, I got one more question if you have time.
Sure, after the break. Sure, after the break. Hold on. Okay, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, I know that's kind of complicated and stuff. I'm going to learn how to break this down even more. As I grow, as I learn in apologetics, I'll give it to you too. Four open lines, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, we have four open lines if you want to give me a call. And the number is 877-207-2276. Let's get back on the air with Alex from Florida. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, so my other question, different topic. Matthew 23:27, where Jesus is talking to Pharisees and calling them whitewashed tombs. So that's the verse let me back up, sorry. That's the verse we thought of. We were in a church, and we're visiting the churches here, and the pastor said that the word tomb is never mentioned in the Bible as a spiritual state as for someone. And we confronted him after, we didn't confront him, but we talked to him a little bit just about the church, and then we broke that up, and he said, well, that's an analogy. You know, that's it. He stuck to his first thing he said in the message. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure I understand what the issue is.
So let me back up. So he mentioned in the message that the word tomb is never mentioned in the Bible as a relating to someone's physical body or spiritual state. He said it's just related to a physical body or regarding a body.
Is or isn't? I am confused. So the word tomb, he said, is not or is never in reference to a physical body?
No, he said it's never a reference to a spiritual state. It's only in reference to a physical body.
Well, the word occurs 7 times, and you are like whitewashed tombs. What you scribes, you build the tombs of the prophets. Mary and Magdalene, Mary sitting opposite the tomb, therefore he gave orders for the tomb to be made secure, and he went and made the tomb, grave, secure, same word. Sabbath, Magdalene came to look at the grave. They opened their throat is an open grave. Okay, so the question or the statement was, it's not in reference to the physical body.
No, you said it wasn't mentioned to the spiritual state, only the physical body. So when and he said that. So we asked him afterwards, and he said, well, no, that's an analogy referring to that passage.
He says to the scribes, you are like whitewashed tombs. What he's saying is inside of you is filth, because what the Jews would do is... you could not walk over or touch a grave because you'd be unclean. You had to go through ceremony to become clean. And so they would whitewash them so that you wouldn't approach them or step on them. But that's what he's saying. You whitewash tombs. He's saying on the outside you're clean, but on the inside you're filthy and rotting. So it is definitely a reference to the internal condition.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what we mentioned to him. We said, well, doesn't this describe a spiritual state? And his only response was, that's an analogy. And then he quickly started talking about something else. And my wife even got a little embarrassed and was like, well, that was my question.
This is a pastor who said this?
Yeah, this is a pastor.
Okay. Their throat is an open grave. That's Romans 3:13. The word grave is tomb. So it is in reference to what comes out of their heart, their speech. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. So he's calling them dead inside. They are open graves. Their throat is an open grave. It's speaking filth and falsities, and that they themselves are like whitewashed sepulchers or whitewashed tombs. And so we have two instances, Matthew 23:27 and Romans 3:13, where that is the case. So he can't say it's not in reference to that. So he just can't do that. If he wants to say it's an analogy, then say, good, it's an analogy. What's the analogy representing then? What is it?
Yeah.
Because one thing relates to another. That's what an analogy does. Okay, so what is the grave representing about the person? Their throat is an open grave with their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. What is the grave in reference to in that context by analogy? And then he won't be able to.
Yeah, I would have said that, but I was a little taken back. He seemed a little prideful when he responded to me in that way, and that's why my wife was a little embarrassed, and she's like, well, that was my question. So I would have, if I probably wouldn't have gotten that, I might have asked that next question, like you said, like, well, what is that in reference to? What's the analogy in reference to? But it kind of, you know, we're looking for new churches, and it just kind of turned us off, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, not that I'm an example of anything of humility, but I remember a Bible study once. This is just representative, I think, of how we're supposed to be. And at least in this one instance, I manifested. I'll just say it that way. And I was teaching a Bible study, and this guy came to me, and he said, "Matt, look, I want to disagree with you about something you said last week." And I said, "Okay. Yeah, no problem. Well, what is it?" And he said, "I think you made a mistake." I said, "Wow, really? Show it to me." It wasn't like, "Oh, yeah, you jerk. Show it to me. Let's see if you can." It was, "All right."
Yeah.
And because I'm not perfect, you know, maybe I don't have it right. And he sat there for 2 minutes, and I forgot what it was, but he sat there for 2 minutes, and he explained it to me very respectfully, very patiently. And I looked at him, and I looked at what he said, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "You're right. I did miss that." And he was shocked. He says, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah, I think what you came up with is better than what I understood." And he stared at me in disbelief. He said, you don't have a problem with that?" I said, "Not at all. If I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. And I thought I was right, but now upon closer examination, I think that what you said more accurately represents the point of the text." And then I brought it up to the group I was teaching. I says, "This is what I taught last week, and you know, so-and-so came up, and he said this, and I think he's right. Let's go over this." "No problem. So what? It's okay."
Yeah. So I'm saying, so if I were to go further with this, I don't know if I'm going to meet with him for lunch or something like that. But
you don't know if what?
Listen to the message. No, I said, I don't know if I'm going to, meet him, you know, face-to-face, but mm-hmm. if I don't meet him face-to-face, at least make sure I listen back to the message, make sure it's right, and then maybe send him an email, and then maybe that will give me a better understanding of kind of where he's coming from. And if he's, like you react in humility, maybe see if he reacts in humility.
Yeah. Don't always react in a humble manner. I do blow it, and I'm working on that all the time.
No, I know. I know you do, brother. I know you do.
What do you mean you know I do? What are you talking about?
I know you do. Come on, man.
Whoa.
You're made of the same flesh and blood as me.
Okay, well, in that case, if that's the case, you poor guy.
I'm just razzing you, man.
It's all right. Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm teaching online, I try and be patient, and I actually try and listen, and I always try and be open to what people are telling me, because I learned a long time ago, you know, I don't have all the answers, but if they're going to correct me, show me from Scripture, and I'll say, okay, show me from the Word of God, because I better make sure I'm submissive to the Word of God, and that's what I want to do. So, someone in Bill said in the chat room, he says, "Matt Slick can actually walk on water if it's frozen." So,
yeah.
And someone else wrote, "Matt's not perfect. I don't believe it for a minute." So. We have fun in the chat room.
You got an echo chamber over there, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I just got to get my wife in there so she can learn how great I am. That's the thing, you know.
Me and you both, my friend. Me and you both.
Man. What is with them? Especially my wife. Not knowing how great I am. People on the radio say, "Man, you're great." I go, "Call up my wife." They've actually done it a few times. Is this Mrs. Slick? Yes. I can tell you, your husband's awesome. And she says, "Did he put you up to this?" and then she'll say, did someone call and said that, you know, that you were great?" I go, "Really? That's... how did that happen? That's really strange."
Oh, wow, man, that's too funny, brother.
Yeah, so have fun. Oh well. All right. Anything else, man?
Well, sorry to take up half the show today, man. But your answers—they really,
all right.
really helped.
It's okay. We don't have any callers waiting right now, so it's no big deal. If you got another question, go for it. But if not, that's all right.
I think I'm set. I'll email the info at Carm if that's easier, and maybe we can get something scheduled for those Buddhist monks.
Sounds good.
Something out.
If they speak English well enough.
That, brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you'd have to. Can you translate? I mean, is that okay? I mean, not translate. Can you work with the translator? I know you can't. I know
yes.
you can't speak Burmese, but can you work with a translator?
If yeah, I've preached with translators or interpreters before, and taught with interpreters, and it's a little unnerving because you get your flow of thought going, and you got to stop, then go and stop. But it's just what it is, you know. That's okay. So no big deal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good, brother. Well, God bless you, my friend.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. All right. Okay. Well, we have nobody waiting. I'm just going to let you know that, hey, folks, by your gracious donations and support, we're able to stay on the air. And I don't talk about this very often, and I really don't. My wife even complained. Not complained, but, you know, so you don't mention it enough, you know? And others have said the same thing. How come you don't mention it? Well, I just don't like doing it, because that's not what this ministry is about. It's about reaching the lost and equipping the saints, and that's what I want to do. But the reality is that we need support, and I'm just going to ask you to consider going to carm.org/donate. And if you would just sign up for even $5 a month, it doesn't matter. But that's not too much. But if we get enough people doing that, we can really pay a lot of the bills and stuff. And just so you know, we have a missionary in Colombia, and he's been working full-time with us for 12, 15 years now. I can't remember. It's been quite a while. And he does the Spanish equivalent of CARM. We have a guy full-time in Brazil. He does the Portuguese. And we've been with him 5 or 7 years, where he's been with us. And we support him. And we have a guy in Nigeria, a guy in Malawi. We have a guy in Turkey. And we have a guy in Salt Lake City. And so that's Luke. Luke sometimes fills in for me on the radio. He's great. And so we have a lot of people there, and you know, this ministry is able to reach out and touch a lot of people. And if you want to participate and help, you know, $5 a month is what we ask. Even less than that is fine. It enables us to be able to create budgets and to get things going. So that we can know what we're going to be doing and stay on the air. And if you like the radio show, please consider supporting that as well. We have people who do that, and every now and then when I ask, people will send in a check or something for the radio, and we are so thankful for that. It is just awesome, and I want to thank you for those of you who have. And we're not in any jeopardy right now, not a plead. It's just, hey, we've got a couple of minutes, and I thought I would just fill it with letting you know that we do need that support, but we also need that prayer. And please consider praying for us, because it's a spiritual battle that we're involved with here. And I hope that you have a great evening tonight. And remember that I'll be talking tonight on apologetics in about 2 hours, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I'll be doing that on Clubhouse. And you can go to carm.org/calendar for the link information. And there you go. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we're back on here tomorrow. Talk to you then. See ya. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.